We're starting with a new sermon series today, Jesus With. And for the next few weeks, we are looking at encounters Jesus had with politicians, religious leaders, the abused, the anxious. And we open our hearts and our lives to learn. We want to learn from Christ Jesus, our rabbi. What do we do when we have to engage with those encounters? When those people, conversations come our way? And when we look at these encounters, we see that this being present with Jesus, these conversations, they were life-changing for those individuals. And I wonder how would it be to live a life with the imagination that an encounter with Christ alongside me, with these individuals that cross my way, what if these encounters might be life-changing? And so today we start with the encounter between Jesus and a religious leader, Nicodemus. And I invite you to read this about this encounter with me in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus. He was a prominent leader among the Jews. And late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God, because no one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." And Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" And Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and it becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does it happen?" And Jesus said, "You're a respected teacher of Israel and you don't know these basics. Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There's nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man." What associations do you have with the word religion? For some, religion is about identity, about boundaries, dogma, morality, liturgy, laws. And there's a motivation to be true to a tradition. For others, religion means justice and concern for the poor. And the motivation is about being sensitive to systems and structures affecting the poor. And for some, religion means inner peace, a connection with others and with the world, forgiveness, and a personal, intimate relationship with God. Who's right? Well, in a way, everyone. When we look at the Jewish tradition, the tradition that Jesus was raised in, we see that for them, religion developed in three phases: Deuteronomy, the prophets, and wisdom. Deuteronomy is when the Jewish people began to form a religious community, and their religious practices were very much concerned with the establishment of a unique identity as the people of God, to have proper boundaries, to adhere to a certain moral life. And it was very strictly observed. And this ensured that there was clarity about who they are, to whom they belong, and to whom they were faithful to or are faithful to. But that idea of religion was challenged, because after a time, the prophets came and they looked at their religious community and invited them to a different focus in the name of true religion. And simply put, they began to say, God cares less about our religion than about the poor. True religion for them was about caring for the poor, and it became their mantra. The quality of your faith is judged by the quality of justice in the country, and the quality of justice in the country is judged by how it's going with the poor, the most vulnerable in society. It's almost like they had this way of thinking that no one can go into heaven without a letter of reference from the poor, a letter of recommendation. But the Jewish writings do not end with the prophets. Eventually, something else also developed. Another group of religious leaders and teachers came together who added wisdom. For them, the laws and the poor were not wrong. It's not the one or the other, but there was another motivation that's important, namely compassion. Becoming people who embrace differences, and true religion became about caring, being compassionate, understanding, and sharing and having a generous heart. And I wonder about the development of religion in our lives today. Our ideas, our motives, our desires to want to be right, to believe the right thing, to live the right way. What is that effect on our actions and our words? And in this very important encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus teaches us about how religiosity can keep us from living with God, a life with God. Jesus teaches us that the core, the heart, the good news is a relationship with God. And he describes this relationship as the kingdom of God. And today, three things that Jesus brings to Nicodemus's awareness that keeps us and draws us away from this relationship with God. And I pray that as we look at these scriptures, that you will also be invited to see how your ideas and life and actions are shaped, and what Christ is also inviting you and I to, a relationship with him. And the first shift that happens in this conversation, this first invitation from Jesus is that Nicodemus would move his ideas and frame of reference from just miracles, signs and wonders to relationship. Nicodemus comes and the first words that he's saying is, Rabbi, we all know that you're a teacher straight from God, and no one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. One of the other translations talk about the signs and wonders, and Nicodemus here is attributing Jesus' authority to the miracles that he performed. His religion, his idea of religion, is shaped by the signs and wonders. And religious people have the habit of making miracles the most important thing. But look carefully at what Jesus says. We see that Jesus prefers not to talk about the miracles he had performed. He changes the direction of the conversation to get off the heart of the matter, the relationship with God. He says, you know what? My miracles, they are not the essence. They are just pointing towards God, towards the kingdom of God. You're missing it. Just before this encounter, we see in John 2:23, you can go read that. We see that Jesus was in Jerusalem at Passover. And the word says that many people began to believe in him when they saw the miracles that he performed. But the scripture then says that Jesus didn't rely on these people because he knows people. He knew that believers who built their faith only on miracles were people that he couldn't rely on. Because Jesus' miracles were not meant to be spectacular, impressive events through which people should come to faith. They are meant to be like road signs pointing to the one who performs the miracles, the miracle maker himself, the miracle worker, God himself. And Jesus says, if your faith is only based on miracles, you're not really following me. I want you to follow me. I think about the miracle of the bread in John. There were people who just followed Jesus because of the bread. But when he told them what it would mean to really follow him, they said, no, it's okay. It's too difficult. We can't commit to that. We read in Matthew 8, large crowds were around Jesus. And people came to him and said, they want to go with him. Wherever he goes, I want to go with you. And they were swept up by the crowds and all this energy around Jesus. And Jesus says to one of them, if you want to come with me, you need to know that sometimes we won't even have a place to lay our heads. And you see how people think a second time about this following business. Later in Matthew 16, the Pharisees came and they asked Jesus for more miracles and signs. You know what Jesus says there? Be on your guard. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because the religious just wants God's gifts. They just want the signs. They just want him to make their life comfortable. But Jesus says, no, that is not what religion is about. I long for a relationship. I want a relationship with you. I don't want you to use me. I'm not here to just make your life comfortable. I want you to know me. I want you to know me as I know you. I want you to learn to love me the more you know me. You cannot love someone if you don't know them. So get to know me. Get to know who I am, not just what I can do for you. The second movement or awareness that comes in this encounter that we see that Jesus shifts Nicodemus's frame of reference from a transactional approach to the relationship. Jesus says to him, you're not listening to me, so I'm going to say it again. Unless a person submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, then it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Because when you look at a baby, it's just that, a body that you can look at and that you can touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you cannot see or touch, which is the spirit. And becomes a living spirit. There's more. And we often tell the story we often use this encounter as a teaching of Jesus about being born again. And we tell it as if it is a recipe for us to get into heaven. All you have to do is say the right things, accept Jesus, and then one day you'll be okay. It's about thinking about religion as a transaction. I need to do something to get something. And I remember as a child how I lived with this idea. You know, if I just believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If I accept that, if I say I'm sorry, then everything's going to be okay. And I realize how this verse is used as a great forgiveness verse, while this is a new life verse. Because the whole context of this encounter is about life with the kingdom, life with God. And Nicodemus says, I can see it. And Jesus says, no, you're missing it. You can't see it. And he helps him understand why he can't. Because Nicodemus, you have a transactional approach to faith and religion. How many of us live with that idea? Dallas Willard has this image. He compares this way of seeing the Christian faith to grocery barcodes. You know, the ones that you sweep over that laser at the till and then the computer scans the item and the price. And it doesn't make a difference what that barcode is on. The product or the bottle doesn't matter. The only thing that computer looks at is the sticker. It doesn't care whether it's the right product. It responds with its electronic eye and ignores everything else. So if the ice cream sticker is on the dog food and the dog food sticker is on the ice cream, the scanner doesn't know and it doesn't care. And Willard says, many Christians are stuck thinking that Christian faith is like that barcode and scanner. And that when we confess our faith in Christ and say the magic words, God simply changes our barcode so that when we die and arrive at the pearly gates, the heavenly scanner will register us to be admitted. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son to change our barcode sticker so that we can pass into eternal life. That's not the life that Christ is inviting us to. Jesus is inviting us to. God is not only interested in stamping heavenly passports so that we can be with him when we die. God longs for us to experience here and now the richness, the meaning of being in relationship with him and knowing him. Jesus longs for us to experience how his spirit blows into our souls and fills us with life and forms us and shapes us into living beings. He longs for that. The last invitation is to shift from dogma to relationship. Jesus says, I only speak of what I've experienced. I give witness to what I've seen with my own eyes. There's nothing here, say, secondhand. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. And so if I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see? The things of God. Now, it's interesting when Jesus talks about repentance, it's very different from when we talk about it today. Today, our conversion is linked to a moralistic behavior. Just don't do this or don't mix with that and you'll be okay. It's all about external stuff. But for Jesus, repentance is something completely different. The word metanoia literally means a greater thinking. In other words, it's beyond your head and mind. If you're just going to search for it in your head, you're not going to find it. You'll have to descend to a much deeper place, to your heart, to your soul, to that place where you experience. You see, the heart doesn't change with logic. The heart, the soul doesn't speak Afrikaans or English, black or white, reformed or Catholic. It speaks to experience and relationship. And it doesn't mean you are in a relationship if you believe in the right things. It's about experience, not a concept. You can know about grace. That does not mean you're experiencing grace. You can know about love and understand love, but that doesn't mean you love and you experience love. It can't be about the dogma. It's not just something you have to accept or believe mentally. You have to experience it too. I love the Hebrew word and the Greek word in scripture, yada, and the Greek gnosko. It means to know through experience. Jesus invites us to a life with him. I think of the words in Romans 5. It says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled? Shall we be saved through his life?" We will be saved through a life with God, not what we know about God, but through a relationship with God. So where are you today? What ideas of religion are keeping you from the essence, from the heart, keeping you from relationship? Because religion is the container, and if the container becomes the thing, then it blinds us. Then we become like Nicodemus. Jesus says, beware of the yeast, and that yeast is in each one of us. And Lord, we ask for your grace to see that. We ask for the grace to acknowledge that in our lives. We ask for the grace to change it. We ask that you help us let go of our ways of thinking that hinder us, takes us away from a relationship with you. And we ask that you will show us what do we need to build into our lives that draw us into this relationship with you. What do we need to do to know you more, love you more, follow you more closely? Because that is the desire of our heart. Lord, we long for that relationship. We long for the kingdom of God in our midst. Thank you that we can experience that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you have a pastoral need or would like someone to pray for you, please contact us at pastoral@mosaic.com. And one of our team members will be in contact with you and will pray with you. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.